Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. It's the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. The first beatitude, which was the subject of last Sunday's message, confronted us with a deep need for a Savior. It states, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And a person poor in spirit is conscious of his or her spiritual poverty, his or her desperate need in their life, and they are certain God and God alone can supply that need. Therefore, the first step towards God is recognition that we are sinners in need, in desperate need of a Savior. The idea of dependence on someone else other than ourselves to fulfill our needs is frowned upon by the world today. However, dependence on God is the first step in becoming a blessed person. And our text today is the second beatitude, and it is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. And again, I invite you to turn in your Bible or to use one from the pew rack in front of you as I read our text this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. You know, this beatitude is frowned upon by the world as well. It is considered as utterly ridiculous. Why would anyone in mourning or think of mourning as a key to happiness? Yet Jesus said this beatitude is one of the keys to a blessed life. Note the progression here in our relationship with God. The first step of a blessed life is the recognition of a need in our life, a recognition that we are poor in spirit because we have this need, and this need is caused by our sin. And the second step is to mourn because of the sin in our life. So first is to recognize that we have a need caused by sin. And then second, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn because of the sin in their life. And as we reflect on the text this morning, I want us to look at mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning from three different aspects. First, there's the mourning caused by personal loss. And we each Sunday usually have someone on our list who has suffered a loss, such as Mabel and the loss of her two sisters, and we reach out to them, and we know they are mourning. She is mourning the loss of those close to her. And all of us, at least those of us who have lived on this planet Earth for a while, have experienced mourning over some personal loss. Many of us have grieved more than once in our life. It could be that we've grieved because of the loss of a child or spouse or sibling or friend. People in New Orleans grieved over the loss of their homes during Hurricane Katrina. People in the Philippines grieved in the last few weeks over the loss of their property and of the numbers of people who were killed as a result of the earthquake. Others have grieved over the loss of a job or over being rejected, a personal rejection by someone, or a loss of health. And unfortunately, many Christians' parents today grieve over the rebellion of their children. Yet the good news the good news to help us over this personal loss is that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. You know, Jesus quoted Isaiah 61:1, which states, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Jesus is available to us to help us overcome these times of personal mourning in our life. Second, there's mourning caused by the sin and sorrow and suffering of the world. You know, one of the problems today is, I think, that whether it be because of the media, the television is so prolific, the social media, the Twitter and Facebook and the internet and all that, we have become so desensitized to the problems of the real world. For example, I can remember when the first pictures of children with bloated stomachs because of malnutrition came across the TV screen, how it would affect us, how it would reach down inside of us and tug at our heartstrings. And now we hardly pay any attention to it. We have been exposed to it so often. We have become so desensitized to the gory violence on television and in movies that many care little for human life. We even go so far in this society as to make heroes out of those who commit such horrible acts. But listen to what Jeremiah said about the people in his day. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. How applicable is this verse to our society today? It's almost like he wrote it yesterday. That our society is not ashamed of their conduct. They don't even blush at all. But he tells them that they will fall with the fallen and they will be punished when the time comes, said the Lord. God has also grieved over his world. You know, the Bible, if you think about it, never tells us that Jesus laughed. It tells us he hungered, he thirsted, he was sorrowful, he was angry, and on two occasions he wept. Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. He wept with Mary and Martha. He felt their pain, and he feels our pain. And the question is, do we weep with others in their sorrow and pain? And Jesus wept over the lost city of Jerusalem because the people rejected the opportunity to accept him and have a peace in their life. They remained in their lost condition, and Jesus wept for them. As a result of their rejection, the people of Israel faced immediate and impending judgment. And because of this fact, Jesus wept. Do we weep over the things which caused Jesus to weep? Jesus was moved at the plight of the multitudes around him. Are we moved by things that moved him? We live in a lost world. Yet somehow we who are Christians have forgotten that people without Jesus are lost. We go back to that phrase, comfort zone. We like to stay in our comfort zone. We like to come to Ephesus on Sunday and meet fellow worshipers. And we go to Bible study and meet fellow worshipers. And we go to visitation and we visit what people who worship in our community or people we know who are kin to people who worship in our communities, we never want to get out of that comfort zone and meet lost people who are people who are truly lost, who live in degradation and sin, who live degraded and debased lives. We don't want to approach them and say, "Are you saved? I'm here to tell you about Jesus." Somehow we have forgotten about the people who are lost without Jesus. Where are the believers who weep over the lost in this world today? All we need to do is pray to Jesus, and He'll give us the guidance that we need and tell us what we need to do to approach them. Third, there is mourning caused by our sin. And this is really the genesis or the basis for the second beatitude. Mourning caused by our sin. It's not only the sins of the world which cause us tears, for we have sins of our own over which to weep. Our sins grieve God, and therefore they should grieve us. None of us, I don't think, who are really saved want to sin. We desire to live pure lives and before God and before the world. However, we try and we fail. What makes us behave the way we do? We don't wish to become irritable, but we do. We don't wish to say harsh things to others, but the words just seem to flow and fall from our mouth. We do not wish to speak unkind words. Why does there seem to be a war raging within us? Paul faced the same struggle, the greatest evangelist, the greatest missionary who had walked this earth. In his letter to the church at Rome, he admitted this to them. He wrote of his struggles, even as he had become a believer. And he says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The very fact that we can still grieve over our sin is a good sign, because such grief will lead us to repentance. In the Old Testament, God was grieved over the sins of His people. Listen, He was so grieved to the point, listen to this. This is prior to the great flood. "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Listen to this. "The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain." God grieves because of our sin. God grieves because we don't love Him as He loves us. God grieves because we don't want to be known as one of His children. You know, we can behave in such a manner as we can grieve the Holy Spirit. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The verses surrounding this very verse is filled with the actions and attitudes which we allow into our lives that offend the Holy Spirit. Lying, anger, cheating, stealing, bitterness, rage, brawling, malice, slander, and many, many other things combine to cause grief to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the question is, are we grieved over the indwelling of the sins in our life and in our church? The lost person whose heart is broken because of sin is ready to be comforted. He or his or her sorrow over their sin drives them to the Savior, Jesus. And it's up to us to help them along, to give them the roadmap, so to speak, to go to Jesus. Once they are so convicted by their sin, then by the Holy Spirit, then they will turn to Jesus. And we need to take every opportunity when we see that happening. And God will let you know when that's happening in your fellow worker or your family member or your friend. And you just need to give them some direction. But this is also true for believers who sin. He or she sins and is guilty and they feel downcast and remorseful. How often have you promised God to not commit that sin? And like Peter promised Jesus he would never deny him, in less than 24 hours, he denied him three times. And in less than 24 hours, we commit that same sin that we promised God would not come into our life again. We mourn over our sin. We feel guilty. And this drives us back to Jesus in repentance. And once we repent, there's a peace that comes to our life. Joy is restored in our hearts. And our spirits are revived and we are comforted. So the first step to repentance and restoration is recognition of our sinful spirit, our sinful condition. We are poor in spirit. We are spiritually poor and we know it. We recognize that there's something missing in our life. And step two is to mourn over our sin and to mourn over that condition and to grieve over it, because such godly sorrow produces repentance and leads us back to Jesus. So the question this morning is, do you desire to be free from the burden of sin? Do you need to know the comfort of forgiveness? If so, remember what Jesus said in the second beatitude. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are they who know their sin in their life and they're saddened by that fact. And they feel the guilt, whether they are a believer or not, and they are led to go to Christ to receive salvation or to receive repentance. The reason we who mourn about a sin in our life are blessed is because of the comfort that's available from Jesus. Our grief and our sorrow drive us to the source of all comfort, our Lord Himself, and He gives us the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. But the good news is we do not have to keep mourning over our own sins. We can come to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation and be set free from sin. So if you're a believer this morning, and you're committing those same old sins or new sins or any sins, you can go back to Jesus and say, Lord, please forgive me. He will forgive you. Put His arm around you and say, come on and walk with me again. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're lost. You don't know. You don't have that gift of salvation. You too can be comforted. You know there's something missing in your life. All you have to do is accept Him. Jesus tells us one way to have a blessed life is to mourn over the fact that sin is in our life and then to take it to Him. Lay it at His feet, and He will take that burden from you. We invite you to come this morning and do just that. To say, I know I have a need in my life. I believe God can fill it. I know I'm a sinner and I want to accept that gift of salvation. We invite you to do that as we sing our invitation hymn number 280, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross.